ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. How's been our day? Great. Okay. How's been the day? Fantastic. Okay. How's been our day over there? Great. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the gift of life that He has given to us. The opportunity to, you know, to be numbered among the living and not the dead. You know, it's something that we should never take for granted. You know, every time our eyes get to see the sun, you know, we should give God praise. Hallelujah. David said, I slept and I woke up because the Lord sustained me. You know, so we should be grateful each time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm grateful to God for this privilege that our lead pastor has granted to me to bring God's word to us this evening. I do not take it for granted. And I trust the Lord that it will be a time of unveiling for us in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for tonight. We give you praise for the opportunity to fellowship around your word. Sweet Holy Spirit, I ask that you take over my intellect, you take over my vocal cord, and communicate the truth of your word through your people in such a way that they will understand. And you cause this word to be mixed with faith in their heart and create results for us to the glory of your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I'm teaching by faith. Tonight. I'm teaching on faith by faith tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. The title for tonight's session is How to Let Your Faith Loose. How to Let Your Faith Loose. How to Let Your Faith Loose. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. You know, our lead pastor started us on this journey of faith from the first beautiful exchange service this year, you know, to teach us on what faith is, then proceeded to teach on what faith is not, you know, and Pastor Folake took it up from there. And last week she was talking about how faith comes with emphasis on hearing. Hallelujah. How to let loose your faith. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us, as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. But the word which they heard, the word which they heard, the word was preached, the prophetic word was given, the inspired word from God was shared, you know, among the congregation of people, you know, everyone heard the word at the same time. They heard the word preached. They heard the prophetic word. But the Bible makes us understand in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, that the reason for different results, different level of profiting, different consequences that the word have in the life of people, it's a function of that word being mixed with faith in their heart. So it's possible for someone to hear, you know, sermons, hear preaching all through the year. And if that word is not mixed with faith in the person's heart, the person would have marked attendance for 52 weeks, you know. And the person will be worried, is it the vessel that God is using? You know, say, that man of God, his anointing needs to increase. His anointing is not working in my life. It's not his anointing that is not working in your life. It says the word not being mixed with faith in their heart. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Romans 10, verse 10. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. Remember, he says that the word did not mix with faith in their heart. So where the mixing happens, it's in the heart. Where believing happens is in the heart. With the heart, one believes, and one is now counted righteous. Counted righteous means that you are now declared to be in right standing with God. It means that you are now on the same page with God. When you believe what God has said in your heart, it means that you are taking the same position with God. And when you get to that point where you are aligned with God on what God is saying concerning your issue, what God is saying concerning that situation, when you are aligned with God, then you can make confession. And that confession will create the deliverance. We create the salvation. We create the experience that you want. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Mark 11. We've been dwelling on this scripture. Mark 11, 23. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I want you to think again about, you know, the dynamics of the scripture that we've read. First and foremost, the word is heard. It mixes with faith in the heart. And because you believe in your heart, you declare the word. Hallelujah. And when you declare the word and you believe in your heart that what you've said will definitely going to happen as you said it, you will have what? Whatever it is that you say. Hallelujah. You see, this is a circle of faith. That if we come to a point that we master this circle, we get results 100% of the time. This is a circle that once we master, 100% of the time, we'll get results. If there is any time that a believer thinks that he's in faith or is believing God for something and he did not get results on that thing that he can confidently validate that God has made provision for in his word, you are sure that it is the will of God for you at that time, and yet you did not get that thing, you should know that you did not pursue that thing in faith. That's why you did not get it. Hallelujah. Because faith does not disappoint. Hallelujah. Faith does not disappoint. Please let that sink in your spirit. That faith does not disappoint. Never get to a point where you feel that, oh, you know, I use my faith, you know, but I just didn't get it. And you are blaming faith for your not getting it. You know, it is not faith that is to blame. It is you that you are to blame. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I trust God that as we go through, you know, five key elements that we need to consider to deepen our understanding and build around this circle that I've described. I trust the Holy Spirit that we, you know, fortify our faith in God's word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. How to let your faith loose, especially when you need a miracle. How to let your faith loose, especially when what? When you need a miracle. Hallelujah. I don't know if someone needs a miracle in their life. You know, I don't know if there's an area where you need a miracle. You know, so let me show you within this time from the scriptures. The first thing is to meditate on God's word on that particular issue. At different times in our life, we come across different issues, different challenges. But you see, God has made provisions for every challenge that we can ever face. He has made provision for everything that we could ever come against, every situation we could ever find ourselves. He has made provision for it in the scripture. And when I say we should meditate on the scripture, it means that before you can get to the point where you are meditating, you have to even read it. Hallelujah. You know, you have to first take in the information. Because when we say meditate means that you ponder. You think over something. Can you think over an information that you don't have? No. You think over it. So the first thing is, we have to take time to read. We have to take time to look upon. We have to take time to study, you know, God's scripture concerning that issue. What we usually find as believers is that if you are living victoriously in any particular aspect of your life, if you look at your life as a believer and you can say that, hey, in this area, I don't have any challenge at all. It is in this area that I have challenge. That area that you're saying you don't have any challenge at all, when you check very well, you realize that there is a scripture that you have in your, more like in your, you know, in your hasna, that comes readily to you. Maybe that's the only scripture you memorize from your Sunday school. You know, because you have that scripture, it's there, it's part of you. The scripture helps you take care of that particular aspect. Hallelujah. You know, and what you typically find is that for a lot of believers, you know, the scriptures that we often have, or that we're often equipped with like that, is usually scripture, you know, around protection or safety. Because we've taken time to read Psalm 91 growing up, Psalm, you know. Hallelujah. You know, so you'll be forced to memorize you. I mean, you know, maybe out of fear or out of, you know, try to school you in the things of God. You know, our parents, I mean, there are some believers that actually opens the Bible to Psalm 91 and puts it, you know, by their pillow. Have you seen someone like that before? God bless you. Thank you for, you know, for being sincere. You know, I remember my grandma too, you know, after we've prayed and all that, she will still open the psalm. You know, and put it, you know, Bob, I'm telling you, you know. So the thought that we used to have then was that once, you know, devil sees that Bible, there's a fire that will come out of it, you know, and it will run. You see, but what you will discover is that those scriptures that have been with you for a long time, you know, produce results for you. It just produces results for you, even without you, I mean, effortlessly, in that particular area. So what we discover, what we tend to see is that as a believer, whatever aspect of your life that you have not deliberately taken in the scripture to ponder over it, to think about it until that scripture becomes a part of you like that other scripture, you will tend to struggle. Because when we say that the faith of a man is little, it simply means that the faith does not have enough information to ride on. That's the reason when we say a man's faith is little. There is no enough revelation that can power that faith. There is no enough energy to propel the faith. Imagine trying to start your car with the Tiger batteries that you put in your clock, what kind of spark do you think you will get? He said, no, if you want to start a car, what you just need is a battery. So you went to get the Tiger batteries. And you assemble it together. And you want to, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. The reason why it won't work is that, you see, it does not have enough power, that potential energy, to kickstart that vehicle. It does not have it. Hallelujah. So the same way, you see, as believers, we are trying to deal with certain issues in our life. We are trying to claim certain things. We are trying to walk in certain provisions that God has made available for us in the scriptures. But because we don't have enough revelation, we don't have enough spiritual revelation to propel those things, we'll find it difficult, you know, to be able to get results. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16. Let's just take a quick look at, you know, the way David lived his life. Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I would have loved it if you displayed it in maybe Amplified or the Message version, you know, just to add a little flavor to that. Verse 15 in the Message or Amplified version, please. I relish everything. Okay. I ponder every muscle of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. Every muscle of wisdom. You see, the Bible talks about the scriptures. Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said, you have known the Holy Scripture from a child, which has made you wise unto salvation, has made you wise on the things of the living. So you know how to make things happen, how to create results using the word of God. David said, I ponder on every of the wisdom that comes from you. The word of God is wisdom. I ponder on it. I spend time. As believers, we need to spend time. Because you see, the word of God is all we've got to live this life. But unfortunately, we don't live our life as though that is all we've got. We live our life as though it's our reasoning, our intellectual capacity, that is the most important thing to get by in life. But you see, the word of God is the most important tool. It's the most important tool that we need. It's the most important tool that we need. There is no way we are ever going to get God to help us in any way or on anything outside of his word. Because the provision that he has made for us is in his word. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 talks about also meditating on the scriptures day and night. Meditating day and night. Day and night. I want us to read 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. If you can have it together in Message version on the screen, it will be very good. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, together, Message version. I'll read from here. It says, grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by loss. because of time, I won't be, you know, doing a lot of exegesis on that. Just quick word from verse 2. It says, everything that goes to life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know God. And verse 4 now says that we have also been given terrific promises to pass on. Now, what he's talking about here, when he says terrific promises to pass on, he's talking about the scriptures, the inspired scriptures that they've received, that the apostles have documented. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that every scripture, you know, is written by the inspiration of God. The reason why we are able to read the Bible today is because some people were inspired to put it down, right? Now, this is Apostle Peter reiterating the fact that they've received precious promises and they've passed on to us. But you see, what's very interesting is the description. He said, absolutely terrific promises. And he now said that these promises are our tickets. They are our ticket. You know what a ticket is? You're going to cinema to watch a movie. The only way you can get in is that you have a ticket. That's your access. You want to board a flight. You know, you have to buy your ticket. You want to go by rail. You buy your ticket. Even our buses, you know, you buy your ticket. That's the access. He says that these precious promises are our ticket in participation in the Zoe of God, in the life of God. In the life of God. So, if we want to live the life that Jesus lived on earth, we need the ticket to live it. And that ticket is the promises that he has given. So, what it means is that, you see, for every experience, the God kind of experience that we want to have on earth, be it healing for our body, be it financial abundance, be it promotions, be it whatever it is, all around peace, whatever it is, the ticket to enjoying those things, it's about understanding that we have absolutely terrific promises from God and meditating on those promises. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we are in a time where there is so much information overload, if I must say, you know, and believers are the ones that are even like the quickest to share a lot of facts, a lot of information that are happening. You see people forwarding WhatsApp messages, you know, all manner of stuff when we're supposed to be meditating, you know, on God's word. You know, we spend time on these facts even more than we spend time on God's word. And that's why we tend to experience the things that the world experiences. Where they are stalked, we seem to be stalked. The kind of challenges that they are facing is also facing us. You know, so we now have to now use their method to try to get out, because we have brought ourselves to their level by also aligning ourselves with facts. You know, in the realm of the realm that we operate in, we don't live our life based on facts. We live our life based on the absolutely terrific promises that we anchor our life on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The second thing is that make confessions and prayers in line with the scriptures. You see, when you've taken time to identify the scriptures in that area, you see, God is not even, you know, let me say this word with all, you know, carefulness. God is not trying to more like shove everything or push everything down our throat at once. It just needs us to be able to understand. So there is nowhere in the scripture where it says that every year you must finish this, you must read through the Bible. There is nowhere it says. Hallelujah. The only thing it says that this book must not depart out of your mouth. So he's not saying that even if it is only, you know, Ephesians that you focus on all through the year, so far it does not depart out of your... Do you understand what I'm saying? So what we need to do is to look at, okay, the issue that I want to deal with at this time, the area that I'm lagging, that I want to build capacity at this time, what are the scriptures around it? And the moment I'm able to discover the scriptures and I begin to meditate on them, then I need to start making confessions and prayers in the line of the scriptures. Making confession and prayers. You see, I deliberately combine those words Because you see, if all you do is you make confessions in the name of Jesus, you will get more result than somebody that is praying silent prayer, that is not saying anything. Somebody can be praying silent prayer all of his life without saying any word. And you, all you're doing is you're making, you are not even sitting in one spot. You are going around making confessions in the name of Jesus concerning that. You will get more result than that person. Hallelujah. Because it's not about how sanctimonious that, you know, we do this. It's not about how, you know, how, I mean, God is not nervous. You should talk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you pray, say. That's what the Bible says. Say. Say. So making confessions. Making confessions. You know, there is an important story in the scripture I want us to see. 2 Kings chapter 4. Very quickly. Story of the Shunammite woman. You know, at the initial part of that chapter, there was an experience that she had. She's this woman that pays attention, you know, to hospitality. Hallelujah. You know, so she observed that there is a servant of God, the prophet Elisha, that passes around, you know, and told her husband that, why not, let's prepare a room for this man. Instead of this man traveling all the way down and half again, let him rest, you know, so he can break his journey and all that. And decide to entertain. And along the line, the servant of God, in the desire to bless them, wanted to know what they needed. And, you know, Gehazi identified that, okay, this woman is without a child. And, you know, pray, and according to the time of life, the woman had a child. But verse 17, we're going to do speed read through verse 17. 2 Kings 4 from verse 17. Verse 17. But the woman conceived, bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her. Please, verse 18. Let's be fast. Just want to read through. Verse 18. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. 19. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And so he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. The child was sick, screaming, my head, my head. And what the man could do is carry. You know, thank God for men that marry women of wisdom. You know, because you remember that the decision in the first place to even entertain the man of God was not from the man. It was from the woman. So the miracle was initiated by the woman. Now, he said, okay, let's go. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Imagine the woman carrying the child, perhaps praying over the child, perhaps just doing what she knows how to do, but eventually the child died. And when she went, please, verse 20, very quickly. When she had taken him and brought him to his, okay, verse 21, please. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him and went out. 22. She shut the door and went out. Verse 22. And then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. Please, the next verse. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said what? She said what? It is well. She said, it is well. Remember that at this point, the man didn't even know what had happened. The man didn't have a clue what had happened. Right? You know, she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. Just keep riding. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar that he said to his servant, Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, verse 26, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered what? It is well. It is well. You see, there is something about what we say in the midst of situation. There is something about the confession that we make at that nick of situation. You see, when we're confronted with challenges, what comes out of us? That's why we must spend time to meditate on God's word, for that word to become a part of us, so that what comes out of us is in resonance
in alignment with God. Because until we get to that point where our confession is consistent, is in alignment with the word of God, we won't get results. We won't get results. We won't get results. And you see, the worst position to even take is that position of silence. So there is something about the law, right? That silence means what? It means consent. So it means that you are in agreement with whatever it is that is happening. Because when God made man, he made man living, speaking spirit. So we must speak. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Hebrews 11 verse 3. You can give me Amplified or the Message version. Hebrews 11 3. Because you see, our experiences, they are framed by the confession that we make. What becomes the outcome of that situation? What happens eventually is framed by the word that we speak. And see Hebrews 11 verse 2 says, by faith we understand that the words during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. So God framed the word into order, into the intended purpose by his word. The question is, what are we framing into the intended purpose in our life? Are you framing your business into the intended purpose with your words? Are you framing your career into the intended purpose? Are you framing your health into the intended purpose? You know, the Amplified version, that is not classic, it says coordinated into order. You coordinate the world around you with the confession that you make. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can literally create our world with the word of God in our mouths. Praise the Lord. Because you see, what you say is what you see. What you say is what you see. So when you pray, what are you even saying? Are you complaining or you are confessing the scriptures? For a lot of believers, the type of prayer that we pray is the complaining prayer. You know, we don't go to God in prayer to lament over the things that have not worked or over the things that you don't see. God is not, again, with all carefulness, God is not moved by the tears that we shed. See, God sympathizes with us in our challenges. Hallelujah. God sympathizes. The Bible says that we do not have an high priest that cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. The reason is because as a man, he experienced all the temptations, all the challenges that we can ever experience. So he knows what it's like to have temptation, to have challenges. Right? But what he has also done is, because he had that experience, he has made the provision. He has given us his word. He has given us the opportunity that as he was on earth, so are we now. Hallelujah. Bible says that as he is, so are we. He has given us that authority. Behold, I give you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the abilities of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. He has given us that whole access to be able to do the things that he did. So he expects us that our disposition to challenges is the way he faced challenges. Hallelujah. He never saw any challenge and ran away and say, yekpa, mutigbeo. You know, was he ever recorded? No. No. Because the approach is the God's approach to life. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. It's an important scripture that we should know. It says, we having the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believe and therefore speak. I also believe and therefore I speak. I speak out the word of God in the place of prayer. Father, I thank you because all things are working together for my good. Thank you because my position on earth is aligning with my position in heaven. Thank you because a change has come. My time of change has come. You are turning things in my favor. All things are working together for my favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the most common challenge that we have is financial challenge. That's the most common challenge. But you see, the problem that we have is that we talk negative about it more than we even declare the word of God about it. That's the problem, even among believers. So, with the crab, you know, approach, we still continually try to pull ourselves down because the way we discuss money, the way we discuss finance and wealth, we discuss it from a victim perspective. Someone who is a victim of the economic situation. Someone who is a victim of the government of the day. You know, the government that we have found out, say, Beleo, Aku Buario. Not knowing that, I mean, not reckoning. Not that we don't have the information, we know, but we don't reckon that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Our economy is not dictated by this world. Hallelujah. And you see, that's why it's not all testimony that people will share in church. You know, because there are some testimonies that you just be like, how will they take it? Won't they feel that it's only some people that are getting results? And, you know, so you just say God is good. Please, just praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. But you see, when you sit down with the word, you will get results from the word. When you make the right confessions, you will get results from God's word. Hallelujah. Number three, hold fast to your confessions in faith, irrespective of what happens. Hold fast to that confession. You've taken time to meditate. Now you are equipped with God's word. You know that it's the will of God for you. One of the things that happens in meditation is that the picture in your mind changes. You know, you used to be afraid, you used to be fearful about that thing, but meditating changes your mindset about it. You know, you become persuaded that this is mine in God, and you begin to make confession. Begin to make confession about those things. You begin to make confession. And as you make confession, you need to learn to hold fast to that confession. This is another critical area that a lot of people miss it. When you see something, after you've started declaring, you started confessing, you know, thank you, Lord, for this promotion. Thank you, Lord, for this promotion. Thank you because when I'm promoted at work and my income increases, I have capacity to be able to sponsor the gospel. I have capacity to be able to bless other people. I'm grateful, Lord, for this promotion. Lord, I thank you because it's mine already. You said it in your word that all things are mine in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I have this promotion. And you see a memo or you get an update that, oh, from the headquarter, the global headquarter, they are putting a... Is it linear that they call it now? Or what do they call it? The HR... You know, yeah, embargo, but there's the other synonyms that is Lee something, you're right. Alien, thank you. You know, on that this year, because of the financial situation that the company has found itself the previous year, this year, there is no hiring. We are not hiring new people. We're going to downsize a bit, but it won't be too much. But forget about promotion. And you hear that news, like, man, devil. Devil is powerful, but he doesn't have salvation. You know, people will say village people have come. You know, but you see, that's a mountain. Hallelujah. You see, if you've been seeing that if you say to this mountain, be thou moved, and be thou cast into the sea. That's a mountain that is standing right in front of you. This is not a time to wane down in your confession. This is not a time to stop your confession. This is a time to intensify it. Hallelujah. Because you see, what it means is that literally, do you think mountain can just be skipping like ram? That mountain will just jump up and jump. Which mountain have you seen with your eyes that jumped up before and just move? Which one have you seen? No, tell me, have you seen any? Except maybe in cartoons. Fiction. But you see, it's saying that you will say to this mountain and it will move, including that seemingly impossible situation. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. What about God now bringing to reckoning one major achievement that you did the year before, even in the midst of the whole challenges, and they decide to compensate you for that action? What about God opening an entirely new door at another organization, offering you a much better pay that you'll have gotten when you're getting? See, God has 1,001 ways to make that thing happen. But the problem is, once we see the challenge, we tune down our confession. Once we see the size of the obstacles, we run back. You remember the story of Joshua, Caleb, and the 10 spies in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, let's quickly have it. Numbers 13, 30. You know, very interesting thing. Moses had sent 12 spies to check out the land, and they've gone around and they've seen amazing things. They've seen beautiful things. You know, they even caught some of the pomegranates, you know, and all of those things, you know. They said, indeed, is a land flowing with milk and honey. And they began to give story. Let's quickly read this account. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. This is children of God, who, people that God had redeemed from Egypt. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we had gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants. As if they were there and they saw the land opening up and hitting people. If the land was devouring its inhabitants, how come they have people that are, they are growing and they are huge, they are massive. It means they were feeding on honey and milk and they were growing healthy. You know, when you see places where, you know that they are not healthy, you know, when they are not, you know they are not in all cases, some are genetic. Okay? He said, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. Listen to their conversation. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we are so sure that that's the way we were in their sight. That's the meaning of that scripture. So we are so sure that the way they see us is the way we saw ourselves. And that's the reality. How we see ourselves determines how we respond to the situation. The promise is that, see, I have given you this land. Go and possess it. Everything that God said about the land, they confirmed that is true. And they came back because they see guys that are tall and they feel they need to wage war against them. He says, see, we versus them, it is grasshopper versus giants. There is no head. There is no way. And you see, it's the same situation that Jesus painted. That when you are saying to mountain, mountain is not something like this now. Have you been to mountains? Have you been to Idore Hills? Ah. Have you been to Zuma Rock? You know, when we talk about mountain, You can take, there are some mountains that you can take an entire city. I mean, when you combine all the inhabitants in that city, all the people, when you fuse them together, you know how Mount Everest is like? When you fuse everybody in a particular city together to form a shape, they are probably just going to be equivalent to the size of the mountain. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So when he's saying that you versus that mountain, he's saying that forget about size. Forget about size. It's not physical standing. Forget about it. It's about the size of the person that you are carrying on your inside. Hallelujah. We must understand. So this is what helps us hold fast to our confessions, irrespective of what it is. We hold fast to our confessions. We hold fast. We hold fast. Remember the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel verse 17. David and Goliath. Remember, Goliath had said that, hey, just bring one fighter versus me. Whosoever win, the side wins the battle. We don't need to fight. We don't need to kill many people. Just two people. Right? And for 40 days, there was no one that had enough faith in the words that they've received from God to confront Goliath until David came. Hallelujah. And you know, the interesting thing was the approach of David. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God that you have defiled. And that's the approach you should have. So irrespective of how it seems that situation is escalating, you know how to say, what's the escalate gone? Man, you know, there could be some health challenges, some life-threatening challenges that will look like in the ordinary, there is no result for it. You see, this same principle applies. Hallelujah. You see, until we come to a point where we recognize that we have capacity to bring dead things back to life, by the virtue of the life of God that we have in us, until then, we will not experience so much of the life-giving miracles that we have capacity to bring about. Until then, until we accept it as a norm. Do you understand? Until we accept it as a norm. There are some things that we've probably accepted as a norm. Maybe you've accepted that you go out in peace and you come back in peace as a norm. So you don't even think about it. You just know that, Lord, thank you because I go out in peace, I come back. You know that it is you that are going and they are coming in. The same way you accept that as a norm, you need to accept the fact that you can actually bring back life as a norm. Until then, we won't experience those things in our lives. Hallelujah. Hold fast to our confessions irrespective of what's happening. The fourth thing is act in line with your confessions and prayers. Let your actions align with your confessions and your prayers. Let your actions align. Let your actions align. Because faith does not work by feeling or physical evidence. We work by faith and not by sight. Let your action align. Let it align. Let it align. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1. It says, whose report will you believe? Say, who has believed our report? And unto whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? You see, when we come to that point where we believe what God has said, and we act in accordance to what he has said, we see the hand of God being revealed. It's a systematic process. We believe and we act on it. We see the hand of God being revealed. Now, there is an interesting thing that happens to the disciples in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. You know, I said something earlier on that we cannot afford the luxury of silence, the luxury of inaction, the luxury of not saying anything. The Bible says that now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. As in, so he started by harassing them. Maybe he just harassed them for a while, just get them jailed, and you know. But people were just looking at it that way. Is tormenting, you know, we are being persecuted for our faith. He just starts speaking Christianese language, you know. It's part of the persecution. Jesus said we will suffer persecution, you know. So it's persecution, you know. And one of those days, he just decided to cut his head. They took off his head. Brother of John. The same John, the beloved, his brother. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews. You see, when the devil starts at a point, he doesn't stop. Oh, devil is never satisfied. That's one thing we should know. The enemy, our adversary, goes around like a royal. It's never satisfied. He said he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. Thank God that there was an event happening that prolonged that time. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison, delivered him to the 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. That is after the whole ceremonial event. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So this time around, the church acted. Constant prayer was offered. And when we say constant prayer, it means that the church begin to make confessions in the light of God's word. They begin to declare their position in God's word. They begin to declare the counsel of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you remember what happened in Acts chapter 4, maybe it's 30-something verse or so, you know, when they first speak the apostles and they flogged them and they went back to their company and they started declaring, you know, why are the heathen raging? You know, why did the king of the head declare revenge? And they begin to declare, you know, and they said that let there be evident miracles by the stretching out of hands. Those were the prayers. Let there be evident miracles. Let there be healing. Let there be in line with God. They were acting on the scriptures. So they had to go back to what they were doing and they got results. Hallelujah. Please move further. Verse 8. Media, you need to start declaring God's word. Whatever machine you want to see. Hallelujah. You see, but the result was that there was a shaking. Angel of God came to pick Peter. The chains in his hand was broken. And he led him out of that place without having the key to the gate. So the gates opened on their own accord. Hallelujah. You must act in line with God's word. You know, and when you're doing that, people will say negative things, shut out negative voices. People will say that, are you sure it will work? Are you sure we should go? Are you sure it is the will of God for you? I don't know how people will be asking, are you sure it's the will of God for you to be alive? You know? Are you sure it's the will of God? There is an opportunity that we enhance your economic capacity, you know, that you can leverage. And you can see that you qualify for it. This is a fund that is available for everybody. You have capacity for it, my sister. Why will you withdraw yourself from applying? As I was driving here, someone called me from Kaduna. I was telling me about, you know, a grant that I wanted to apply for over $1.something million. He was very confident about it. It was a case of, uncle, will you support me or you will not? If you will support me, I will still get it. But if you support me, you will get credit for supporting me. Do you understand? Confidently, shut out negative voices as you act on God's word. Because we are well able. Say to yourself, I am well able. I am well able. And the last thing is, receive whatever you have been declaring with thanksgiving. Receive whatever it is that is the desire of your heart with thanksgiving. Receive with thanksgiving. Receive with thanksgiving. Receive with thanksgiving. This is an action that puts a seal on the whole process. Once you get to that point that you're persuaded and you receive whatever you're desiring from God in thanksgiving, you've gotten to that point of reality. You've gotten to that point that even the devil can't stop you again. But if you are not fully persuaded, now, when I say you should receive with thanksgiving, I'm not saying that you are just casually saying, God, I thank you, I receive, because they say, well, let's begin to thank God that we've received it. That's not what I'm saying. No. You can say, let's begin to thank God that we've received it, and you two say, okay, thank God I've received it. Thank God. Thank God I've received it. And in your heart, you have not received it. You are still doubting. Am I sure I've received it? I think after this service, I should go and pray. So that they pray 1 minute, say if we have received it. I need to go and pray my own prayer so that I will receive it. That's just an evidence that you've not received it. Because you see, it's not about the length of the prayer. It's about the depth from which the prayer is coming. Hallelujah. It's the depth. You see, whatever it is that is about you, if you are praying to God about yourself on anything, you don't need elongated prayer for it. It is when you are trying to pray for somebody else, you are trying to obtain for somebody else what he should have used his faith to obtain for. When you are trying to make intercession for someone else, that's when you need the tarrying prayer. Because you see, whatever is that desire that you are asking God for, he has made provision for it. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. What you are doing in that confession is that you are taking delivery of those things. You are taking delivery. You see, it's the consciousness of these realities in God that determines how much you are able to get from God. Until we come to that place where we are assured that when we open our mouths in confession or in prayer, we are not just trying to go and we are not trying to knock a very big iron gate. That one angel will first come and check that. You know, check our holiness register. And say that, 1 week ago, you lied. You know, so go back, confess that sin, confess, confess. Then you now go back again, you start confessing, confess. Then you come back again, come and knock. I've confessed, so they look again, say, no. The tithe that you gave last Sunday was not complete. You gave 9%, not 10%. Go back, go and adjust. You know, I mean, we look at it like it's one, you know, like you are going to Aso Rock, you meet first gate, second gate, third gate. That is not the way it is. Because you see, the Holy Ghost have come to reside on our inside. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. So when we are praying by the help of the Holy Spirit, what we are doing is that the prayer we are offering is being imprinted already. So it's imprinted for results. The Holy Ghost certifies everything. He just ratifies it, done. But you see, Ephesians 3:20 summarizes everything. Ephesians 3:20. As I bring this to a close, you know, we're talking about receiving with thanksgiving. Ephesians 3. Say, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, above all that we confess or we think in our mind, according to what? To the power that is doing what? That works in us. What limits the miracles that we experience is the power that we have working in us. Until you meditate on the scripture to generate sufficient power, enough to move that mountain, you can't move it. That power comes from the place of meditation, forming consciousness of the things that God has provided for us. And the moment we lay hold, we are able to step into that reality. Hallelujah. God's desire for us is that we live like God on the earth. You know, the way Jesus lived on the earth is the way, you see, he showed us an example when he went to meet the disciples walking on water. And they were afraid, but they, you know, he said, I'm the one, don't be afraid. And Peter said, if you are the one, bid me to come on the water. If you are the one, no story, just tell me to come. And the moment the master said, come, he stepped out and he started walking on water. Because you see, the mind of God is that Jesus should come on earth to show us an example of what the Son of God can do. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, as many that receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So we are sons of God. The same way he walked on water, Peter walked on water. But you see, at some point, the Bible says he saw the wind boisterous. You know? He saw the wind. He looked away from Jesus. Then he began to sink. And he said, God, please help me. You see, there is enough distraction in the world. The wind was a distraction. But if we must live out the fullness of life that God desires for us, we must put our attention on God. We must put our attention on his word. Please, let's rise on our feet tonight.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,